Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God take a boy living under the occupation of Hitler's army in Western Europe, in the Netherlands? You know, those days, the days of Anne Frank and Corrie ten Boom during World War II. How does God take a boy to become a leading businessman and political commentator, a Christian statesman in Hawaii? This is the story of Terry Bosgra, a marvel of what Christ can do in the life of a man devoted to him. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean, God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, dear one, the living Christ calls you to himself. If you have not opened your heart to Jesus, it is our hope and our prayer that you would trust him, receive him as your Savior and Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, there is always hope in Jesus. Come to him. And if you already know the Lord, you've already been walking with God, well, we pray that this program will be an encouragement to you. And I believe firmly from the bottom of my heart that God will use Terry Bosgra, to encourage you. Terry Bosgra is married to Pamela. They've taken in foster children and have 2 married sons and 4 grandchildren. Terry, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Nice to be here.
Well, I mentioned a little bit of where you grew up, but what were the conditions like? You know, ration cards, heating food during World War II.
Well, it's not something you want to remember, really. They were on hard times, very cold winters, no food, no clothes, not enough at least, and large family. But we lived in a very godly family. I had parents who loved the Lord, and as far as people sometimes ask me, how long have you known the Lord? I always say forever. My mother led me to the Lord when I was young, and they were Christians. So I cannot give a specific time when I came to know God. The truth is, he found me. God found me and allowed me to walk with him, and it's an enormous privilege to do that. A sinner saved by grace.
How many languages did you speak?
As a child, we grew up with 3, Frisian, German, and Dutch. Frisian in the home, German on the streets, and Dutch in the schools and in church. And it is sort of natural in Europe. And then later, when I lived in South America, I had to learn a little Spanish there. And now that I live in Hawaii, I had to learn Pidgin. That's another language. So we've been here about almost 50 years, and I think my language is very local now.
You mentioned your mother.
Yeah, my mother had MS all the time. She ran the home from the bed. And we had seven children, and it was hard in World War II. But you know, my dad had one motto that I still live by today, and that was, do not blabber about Christian, be one. And that was him, and that was my mom. They were Christians all over. And, you know, they were an example for us. When there was no food, they shared. We took in Jewish children. Anybody, that wasn't anything unique to us. That was what's common in our areas, where the Jewish people, they were shipped their children north where we lived. We took them in. Our homes all took in Jewish children. And we also took in young people that Germany was after. All of Germany's forces were fighting a war, so they wanted the young people, and we had to hide those because they would simply steal them off the street and put them in forced labor camps because Germany needed a lot of extra help, and they were a little brutal, but we also learned how to love them. My dad said, you never hate anybody. You love them all. They're not here by volunteer. They're here by design. They were sent here. And so, as far as we were concerned, they were the same. And they are. They're the same as us, you know. German and Dutch, and was very similar.
But, as a child, when your father was teaching you that, you listened to it, were there conflicts, internal conflicts, feelings, you know, because you knew what the Germans were doing under those conditions, and then you have the Jews. So in a way, you're providing
really
a hiding place, within your own home, right?
Right. Well, every home had hiding places.
Okay.
You know, every home had a place in case they would come show up. Because German soldiers would not knock on the door. They would just barge right in their boots. You could hear them as you can hear them on the cobblestones coming down the streets. They just walk right in and look for young boys. This is what we did. But they never found any in our house. We had good hiding places. And it was upstairs, in the attic, and so forth. But that was very common of not just unique to us, everybody did. And I do not remember a hatred for these people. Yeah, we didn't like them, but we had parents who were very simple folks. We were poor, very poor people. My father was a farm laborer, was, I call him, often a slave. Was more than his life. I've studied the lives of the slaves. His was sometimes even worse than the slaves lived. He went milking at 3 a.m. and came back at 7 p.m. to feed his kids. I could tell, you know, we could all tell they loved us. But yes, there were conflicts in the home. There is no home is without it, even between us as kids, because it was crowded. But we survived it, and it was good, and it was a great experience. On hindsight, I look at it now, I say to people, you missed something. What we had, maybe we all wanted a little bit better. We all wanted a little better life. But what we had, or if I look back on it now, I tell my own kids, appreciate what you have. You know, we all want more, but appreciate what you have. We didn't have toys. We didn't have good clothes. We didn't have a lot of things. Toys, we made them ourselves. We went through the neighborhoods and made stuff. I think there was a lot pluses in living that way. And I'm glad it's not the other way around, that we first got it at when we were youth, had all the wealth and missed it later. I think it's good to grow up with
Terry,
nothing.
Did you ever get to meet Anne Frank or Corrie Ten Boom?
No. Oh, yes. Corrie Ten Boom I did. Because Corrie was in Hawaii to speak here. And I was assigned her chaperone for 3 days. And she was a dear lady. You know, they said to me, Terry, you speak Dutch, but Corrie spoke fluent English. She was very good at it. She spoke a lot of languages, more so than I did. And I picked her up at the Hilton at the hotel where she stayed, and then to the places to speak. She had, I think, 3 engagements. We didn't keep her too busy because she was getting old at the time already. But yeah, what a dear lady she was. We saw her film. We read all her books. And I already had all that before, so I knew who she was. But in my book, she was a celebrity, and we loved each other when she was there. She was a sweetheart. What a lady she was. Anne Frank, I never did. And of course, Anne Frank did not really survive that war. She died in the concentration camp at age, I think she was 15 when she died. And somebody had seen her and said she was emaciated, she was poor, she was hungry, she was skinny. And, you know, she was a doll, because when you read her diaries, she told everything to her diary. The truth is, I have a little girl in China now that I bumped into by through a pure coincidence. And I call her, I'm your diary. I said, have you seen Anne Frank? Yes, she said, we see the movie in China. It's in Chinese. I said, well, okay, I am like your diary, because she's a little incest victim. And the doctors in Shenzhen Hospital that listened to our hymn program picked her up and found her through a newspaper story and called me up and asked me. We saw this story in paper of a little girl having incest with her father. And what would Terry do? They spoke very poor English, but broken English, and got to me through the hymn program. My phone number is on there, and they figured how to get into Hawaii. So they got me on the phone, and then I said, you know, if you read story in paper, Terry not believe that story, because paper tell a lot of stories. So they did, and they checked the paper, they called the reporter, they found the home, and they found the little girl. And then one of the doctors said, there was a group of doctors there from the hospital that went to see her. One of the doctors said, would you like to come home with me and live with me for a year? She would love that. And the parents said that was okay. So they took her home and in the car, and they said, we could hardly see the road. We cried all the way home. Her story is so sad of the incest. And so what would Terry do? I said, well, Terry would not send her back. They said, well, that's what we plan to do. We plan to keep her. And one of the doctors said, she's such a pretty girl. I'd love to adopt her. She was about, I think, 14 at that time. Now she's 18. Anyway, they got home and they say, would Terry like to meet her? Yeah, I said, Terry would love to meet her, but Terry not speak Chinese. Sorry. They said, no, she speaks very good English, self-taught. She's never been in school. She's a peasant girl. And so I said, I would love to see her. Put her on the phone. We exchanged phone numbers at that time. I got her number. She's got mine. Now we talk to each other for at least an hour every single weekend for almost 4 or 5 years now. And her English is very good. And she has just been accepted to one of the finest universities of China. I believe it's Sun Yat-sen University. You know, wow. Sun Yat-sen was in school in Hilani and in Punahou, both. Was here, but he died in 1925. But I've been in one of their schools in China and interviewed kids through an interpreter. He has a lot of schools there in Guangdong. Unfortunately, he wanted to Christianize China, and his brother was worried about that. So they were worried at how he was becoming a Christian here. So they pulled him back to China, and he went to meet with Christian missionaries there. I even have the man's name, but it won't come to me right now, where he went to school. And when he died in 1925, his family buried him in a Buddhist grave because they were so concerned that he might become a Christian. Wow. But now I'm asking people all the time. I've been there several times. Ask him, do you know Sun Yat-sen? Oh, yeah. He's a great man. We love him. He's done a lot for China. But he had a hard time there. He never made it.
As you can tell, Terry Bosgra can share all very broad aspects of life, even elaborate on points of history in some ways, even as I listen to him. Of course, his life integrates with history. He has been a part of the development of life, spiritual life, in the islands and various parts of the world, and certainly in our country. When we come back from our break, more from Terry. You know, he was serving in the military during the Korean War.
Yes.
I'm wondering where he did serve. We'll ask him that when we come back. Terry has worked in various places, but spent a great deal of his career in insurance. Along the way, he's served the body of Christ at large as a leader in the National Association of Evangelicals. More from Terry Boskra when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the person who calls himself a believer ought to be, even as Terry and his family was there during World War II, a place of refuge, a hiding place for those who are afraid, for those who are whose lives are threatened. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Terry Boskra, my guest today. You can hear Terry's political commentaries. You can find out more about him at terryboskra.com. That's Terry Boskra, B-O-S-G-R-A. .com. Maybe you've tuned in and you caught the tail end of the last segment. You want to get this program in its entirety? You can do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Terry, during the Korean War, where did you serve?
Denny, I first went to basic training in Holland, Southern Germany, and Belgium. And by the time we were done with training, I ended up in the Marine Corps. I had a choice of being drafted in the Army or volunteer for the Marine Corps. And I wanted to volunteer I wanted the Marine Corps because I didn't want the Army. My three brothers had already served in the Army, and I didn't want any of that. So I served in the Marine Corps. in there, and they had just adopted, sometimes I regretted it, they had just adopted Hitler's commando tactics. They were tough, and I was not a tough boy, but boy, that was that a tough training. I got through it, I made it, and then when we were shipped overseas, you're ready. Basically, when you're done, you say, now give me a war. I am ready to fight a war. Mm. But the Korean conflict was winding down in the 50s at that time, and we were shipped to South America to protect the oil refineries there, and we were kind of put on hold in that area. And that's where I ended up. And the Caribbean and the islands, it was not a bad, it was like Hawaii, actually. It was not a bad place to serve, but it was not what I wanted to do. But I made a lot of friends there. There was a lot of a large American colony. So I got to know some American people there, quite a few, and made plenty friends. My policeman there in the island befriended me, and I took his children on weekends so that they could take a nap, and I took them to the beach, his mm-hmm. three children. He gave me his car. He was the chief of police there, and we ended up very good friends. And my goal was at that time to go to Nicaragua. So one Sunday afternoon, he set me on the couch, turned me around, and faced me and said, okay, Terry, now tell me, eye to eye, why do you want to go to Nicaragua? I said, well, you've seen France's pictures. A friend there had just come back from there. They were beautiful pictures. He said, do you know how we fight wars in this country and how we change command and how new leaders get elected? I said, no. He said, with bullets. We do that with bullets in this part of the world. So he said, why don't you go to America instead and go there? So he persuaded me, and I finally decided maybe that's what I should do. I had wanted to stay on, but my dad phoned. In those days, if you phoned home, we didn't have cell phones in the 50s. If you phoned home, you got to go to the post office downtown, and you made an appointment, and I got a call from my father. And he said, Terry, if you want to see Mom, you better come home soon, because I know you want to go to South America, but Mom is getting worse, and she is not going to live too much longer. She had MS. And had it for years. And so, yeah, well, no, I said, maybe I better come home. So they put me on a freighter in South America, and we were shipped off to the islands with many stops into Africa, and ultimately to ended up in Europe again and made it home.
Did you make it in time?
Pardon?
Did you make it there in time?
I made it in time. I saw my mom, and she was still alive and lived maybe another week or two. But it was great to see her, and I had the same experience with my father when he died. I went home. And so because we always had a very, very close family. But anyway, I came home, and when my mom died, I did not want to stay in Europe. I tell you, I wanted to get out of there. So, and I liked the tropics in South America, the warm weather. We had always used to these cold weather. So I was living in The Hague with my cousin. He was He was the undersecretary of the military. He had a high position there, but his kids were my friends, were my cousins. And so I stayed with them a lot. And I walked into the American embassy in The Hague, and I asked a man there, I like to go to America. What can I do? He said, well, you're welcome to come to America, but as long as you get in line. I said, how long is the line? He said, 7 years. Oh. I said, 7 years? I'm not going to stay here 7 years. And I walk out of there utterly frustrated. I can still see it in my mind. There I stood. Now what do I do? And I look across the street, and across the street I see the other. This was Embassy Lane. I see the other embassy, New Zealand Embassy. I walked in there and said, I like to go to New Zealand. What can I do? He said, well, when do you want to go? Today or tomorrow? It's up to you. I said, you're kidding. I can go now? Yes. He said, you can't. Get ready. And we need immigrants. We want people in the 50s coming over. So what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to fly. I want to go to flight school and learn to fly. So, well, he said, do your best. So I did. In those days, we traveled by ship. We never traveled by air. There was no money for that. And we always on the boat. So all my ships were by air, by boat. I mean, I think I made 7 or 8 or 9 cross-ocean voyages in my life. No, actually, more than that, more than 15. And they were more fun, too. Airplane, you get there a lot faster. But I made it to New Zealand and lived with my family there. As a matter of fact, my sister from there is coming over tomorrow. I'm waiting for her in the morning at the airport. They live in Australia. They lost their father very young, so I lived with them. Their father worked on the Burma railway line and was a prisoner, a POW in a Japan coal mines. He was a military man in Indonesia and was captured and was, you know, it was a war. War was rough. And he was in the coal mines in Japan, and later they shipped him off to Burma. And so he was working on that railway the whole time. We all know the story, the bridge over the River Kwai. Well, that was his life. He was telling us as kids, for every beam on that rail track, we buried a body. One of our friends and comrades were buried there. It was tough in war, but he survived that, and he went to immigrated to New Zealand. And he had 3 children, twins, and he was going to learn how to do farming there. And they could go share milking in New Zealand. We do, and you can buy into a farm. So that's what he did. And he was in the Jeep with his 2 boys to go milking one afternoon. And he had from the residual from the Burma railway line and also from the coal mines, he used to get temporary blackouts, that he just got dizzy spells. And that, we think, is what happened. The Jeep drifted off the road on the way to the farm, and they went down an embankment 110 feet in the river, him and the 2 boys in it. Well, they were not found. This was in July, which is midwinter in New Zealand. They were not found till 7 p.m., and he was under the Jeep with his head pinned underwater. Otherwise, he had no physical damage, but he drowned. And the 2 boys were sitting between the wheels on the upside-down Jeep, 3 years of age. And they became my little brothers as I lived there. They always called me Big Brother.
You talk about New Zealand, Terry. I am eager to hear. You talk about your family. It's like, as you're speaking, it's like I'm imagining a movie. You know, running in my mind, my mind's eye. When we come back from our break, Terry, something very important happened to you, or you were a part of there in New Zealand. And basically, what I want to know is, how did you meet Pamela? So when we come back from our break, could you share a little bit about that with us?
Okay.
More from Terry Boscrow. You can see Terry, find out, listen to his political commentary, find out more about him, his hymn program that is reaching people in Korea and China, in Asia. You can find out more at terryboscrow.com. It's a delight. It's a delight indeed to listen to someone who is just not read a lot, but has lived a lot. And Christ has been the anchor
of his life. More from Terry Bosco when we come back. Stay with us.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests.
Well,
it was in the 50s, Terry wanted to come to America, and he was told that he would have to wait for 7 years. That's how long the line was. Imagine that. He goes across the street on Embassy Row and he sees the New Zealand embassy, and he said, they tell him, hey, you want to go today or tomorrow? It was his opportunity. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Terry Bhaskara. You can find out more about Terry at terrybhaskara.com. Terry, you're in New Zealand. How did you and Pamela meet?
Well, of course, she was a Kiwi. You know what a Kiwi is, right? That's a New Zealander. And I wanted to, my goal was to fly. And I was in flight school to get my license. I wanted to work for Pan Am eventually. And in order to work my way, that was expensive. I worked in a hotel. And in the hotel, I met a beautiful girl, a pretty girl. Her name was Pamela. Well, they called her Pam at the time, but she didn't like that, so we go Pamela. And we dated a little while. That was illegal because the hotel did not allow staff to date each other. So we dated essentially in secret. And when we announced our marriage plans, our wedding plans in New Zealand, the people in the hotel didn't believe it. They said, you mean you dated each other for that whole time, the whole year? Yes. But we said it wasn't legal. It wasn't right. So we got married and had our honeymoon in New Zealand. We had a picture in the way. We became a little bit of celebrities there and got our picture in the newspaper. And our chef built a very beautiful wedding cake, a 3-4-5-story wedding cake. That was in the paper. And we got the parents' car and had found, this is in 1960 now, we had found a camp where we could go for our honeymoon. When we went there, we discovered the camp was closed but had opened it for just us. And so we were there, and since we'd been in the newspaper, there was a little town called Witianga in New Zealand. They got to know us. We no sooner got, we were known in the entire town in no time, because word travels in small towns. And we were asked by the baker and the butcher to come to the movies. We have a movie on Saturday. Would you like to come? And we said, oh, yeah, we'd like to. So we'll come. So it's in the town hall, and we'll... When we got there, they had a spot reserved for our car. A man was waiting outside. He ushered us in, and we walked in the movie theater. Well, it was a town hall. It was an open theater, an open place. And everybody clapped and stood up, and we sat down. We were the VIPs of that group. We didn't have to pay anything. They didn't want any money. So we saw the film. And the film we saw was April Love by Pat Boone. I've never forgotten that film. And we sat through that and lived through that. But anyway, at the end of our 2 weeks, when the honeymoon was over, I went to the camp and said to them, we're ready to go now, and we want to take care of the bill. And they said, well, sorry, but we don't charge honeymooners. It's a policy we have. I said, yeah, but I can pay something, though. You let me pay. You had the gas and the electric and the water. No, that'll break our rules, they said. We cannot charge you a dime, nothing. So we left there without paying anything. And that was New Zealand in those days. We've been back, of course, we've been back in New Zealand many, many times. But one time we went there for a vacation, and that was maybe a few years back. And we couldn't find a hotel room because there was something going on in that little town, Wirianga. And I cried on the shoulder of an old lady in a hotel. And I said, you know, we were here on our honeymoon, and now we can't find a place to stay. She said, well, you're kidding. Where? I said, well, we stayed over there. That was a cabin there. Oh, she said, and you can't find any place to stay? No. I said, everything is closed. She said, oh, wait a minute. You stay here. We'll stay here a minute. I'll call my sister. She calls her sister. She comes out. She said, here's an address. Drive down there. She has a motel. She'll give you a room. And we got a room for that night. For that one, we paid. But we have good memories of that area of Wirianga in New Zealand. So anyway, Pamela and I met. I lived with my auntie and the children, because she had another baby after the accident of her husband. Yes. And the two little boys that were in the Jeep became my English teachers. Every Sunday morning, they jumped on my bed and were teaching me words. I needed to brush up on my English a little bit, because we may all be bilingual in Europe, but you know, the language wasn't perfect. And so they were my best teachers. They both became carpenters, and amazingly enough, they're now all grown up. You know, my sister, who was only 3 years old at the time, is coming here tomorrow and is now in her 60s, married to a seminary professor. But anyway, that was our life in New Zealand. So then we came from there. I got a phone call from the American embassy one day and said, do you still want to go to America? I said, yes. I had registered.
So how many years were you there?
I think that was 4 years later. And of course, then we've been back about 100 times there because of the parents. But anyway, I said, yes, I still want to go. I said, well, there's a problem now. He said, what's your problem? I said, now I am married. I'm not a single guy anymore. Well, he said, you can do what you like. You can take her with you or leave her here, whatever you want to do. I said, you're kidding. You mean I can bring her to America with me? He said, yes, you can. So we went to her home, her parents. She was an only daughter, had a brother, but no other girls. And told the parents, we're going to America. And they said, no way. We're not going to have it. And my wife said, look, Mom, I am 26 years old now.
And no kids up to this point?
We had no children at that time. Okay. No, we were married 7 years before we had children. Mm-hmm. So No, so she said, Mom, I can do what I want to do. I don't need you have your permission, but I would like to have your permission. But eventually they let us go. They stood on the wharf when the ship left New Zealand, and we sung the songs of goodbye. And we left first for California, and later came to Hawaii. And that was in the early 60s. I think 65 we came here. We had gone again after we had left to, that's right. We lived in California, and she didn't like it at first, so we lived there only 3 years. We went back to New Zealand. We didn't like that, so we came back to Hawaii and stayed here since 1965, I think, and been settled here ever since.
Well, Terry, you have left your mark in the insurance industry with State Farm Insurance. I don't know if one could talk about insurance or talk to a insurance person, a broker in the islands, especially with State Farm, without at some point maybe hearing your name come up. Terry, when we come back from our break, I'd like to find out what you're most passionate about in this season of your life. And you've also been a part of a ministry called Global Hope, the Global Hope Network.
Yes.
So let's talk about that as well.
Okay.
Terry Bosco. You know, Terry, the Roman Catholic Bishop Scanlon, this goes back a few bishops in Hawaii, they co-chaired a banquet with the Holy Name Society and the Knights of Columbus. They invited Bishop Fulton Sheen. Some of you might remember Fulton Sheen as a keynote speaker. And of course, at that time, Governor William Quinn was the MC, and they raised $125,000 for the Mary Jane Home, now operated by the Catholic Charities. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
His programs are including political commentaries. You can find that out at terrybosco.com. Another program called Hymns and History, he's spoken about that. Terry Bosco has been friends with industrialist Henry J. Kaiser. In fact, how many people in Hawaii can say, well, that Henry J. Kaiser used to walk around the block and used to stop and talk story with me? Well, that's what Terry Bosco can say, because they would converse. He's also the author of a book, Abortion, the Bible, and the Church. During the 70s and 80s, he was the executive director of the Hawaii Association of Evangelical Pastors. He also served on the board of the National Association of Evangelicals. Terry Bosco at terrybosco.com. Terry, what are you most passionate about in this season of your life?
Difficult to say, Danny, because our life has to be to glorify God, and that is the total purpose of our life, and I fall far short of that. I know myself, and I know what when we came here to the islands, we got this business, and I didn't know anything about that business. But God blessed it. He blessed that business so enormously, made me a top salesman in, not the very top, but many times in Hawaii, in the West Coast, or in the U.S. We had some, I think, 17,000 agents with the company. And so God blessed that work, but I always told my staff, you do not have to be Christian here. All I require you to do is deal fairly and honestly with customers, and don't lie. I don't have time to talk to all my clients. That's why I have you in the front. And if people say, is Terry in? I don't want you to say, no, he's not, when I'm here. You can always say I'm busy. But don't lie to my people. Deal with them frankly. And we did that, and God blessed that business enormously. Danny, I can't even believe it that I became that big in the business. And, of course, we felt that our money was not ours. We shared it with the Lord. There were times that I remember a man asked me once to cheat for him, and I told him, you know, I have a policy here. I will never cheat you. I will never cheat for you. I will deal you honestly. And what I had to do, I had to cheat something for him, and he was a very big client. He was one of my biggest customers at the time, and he wanted me to do something that I wouldn't do, that would make him money, and it would not cost me anything, actually. And I told him, I'm sorry, I won't do it. And he said, you mean I am not your best customer? I said, yes, you are my best customer, but I will not cheat for you, sorry. And that time, I was sure I had lost a customer. But you know what? He became a bigger friend after that, sent me more business. He was Iranian, and to him, there was a different lifestyle. He was not Christian. But he said, he sent me more business, a lot of business after that, and we became super friends, had coffee in a coffee shop quite often in Kahala Mall, and let it go at that. So at this stage in my life, it's hard to say, Danny, what's the passion? My passion should be to love my family, love my kids, love the Lord, and I fall so far short of all the things I was supposed to do because I have a model. We learned how to read Scripture. I read through the whole Bible every year, half of 50 years. And so I model myself against that and know how far short I come of being the perfect Christian. You want to try these things, but you're not, and I know I'm not. So that is my guide, to follow the Lord the best I can. And I do what my dad said. I don't blabber about it. I do not walk on the street and share. I used to on airplanes a lot more than I do today. Dad always said, be one. And I told my staff the same in my business. B, you don't have to be Christian when you work for me, but I want this office to be an expression of my Christian faith. And so we deal with people honestly and fairly. We don't have to be the top. We don't have to be the biggest. But we want to do well, and we want to succeed. And that's essentially what we did. Then when I retired, I was 70 years old. That was 12 years ago. I'm now in my 80s. My friend came, Hal Jones, some of you know him here, asked to help him in Switzerland. He works with Global Hope Network, that which is humanitarian relief work in the Middle East. So I went there, and I stayed in Hawaii. I never moved there, but just commuted to our meetings in Geneva. And after a while, I told them, I've done all I want to do. We got a good board now, a good board of directors, of business people. Now I want to go home. And they said, no, Terry, I'm sorry, you can't. We elected you chairman of our board, so you're stuck here. You stay. And so that's what I did. I commuted in and out of there into Geneva, and I loved that flight back from Amsterdam to Peking, and began that ministry of the HIM program in China, and feel that has become a bigger ministry than even my Global Hope Network. I'm still with them, sort of, but I'm kind of half and half removed. I had asked my board for my new title, which is called Chairman Emeritus, and they gave it to me, and I have that. But so that means you're essentially still on a board, but you have no responsibilities, and that's the way I like it right now. Because I'm really, the truth is, when you're old, when you're 80s, you are getting old, and I don't like to admit it half the time, but that's the way life is. You slow down, and so the Lord will have to carry on the things we did. I have a beautiful family. I have nice children, grandchildren, and hope they all carry on that. My oldest grandchild is 26 years old already. So life keeps moving. And my legacy will have to be that, yes, we love the Lord, but let the Lord carry this on. Mm. I have nothing specific other than hope that all my family will walk with the Lord. And that's not always the case, but that's the hope and the prayer we have. My wife is a model Christian, which I'm not. She sure is. And she was in Bible study fellowship here and is a student of Scripture and teaches our little grandchild. Right now we have a new grandchild. Well, he's 8. How to work in the Bible every morning, and trains him and teaches him while my son is working. And that little boy lives with us right now. He is, my son has adopted him, he's my best friend. As a matter of fact, if I ask him, who's your best friend? He'll always say, Opa. I'm Opa. And the children in China, I'm Opa too. That little girl I have in China, she calls me Opa on the phone. There too is, I hope that our work for the Lord will keep running. But as I said, my dad's motto was, be one. Don't blabber about what, live like one. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm far short of that. Danny, I appreciate you taking me on the program. I thank you. And I know we're far away from each other, but this is high tech. This is technology today.
Your favorite scripture, Terry?
I don't really have one. I've often asked that. I don't really have one because I read through the entire Bible every single year and have for almost 50 years. And there are so many favorite scripture verses in there, and I'm not a guy going by verses. I say the entire, I'm not learning specific things in the Bible. The whole Bible is a guideline, is our measure to live by, and the scripture is, we find God. You want to find God? There he is. He's there. And read it, get to know it, study it, And, you know, and there's so much new in there. You mentioned earlier I had become a friend of Fulton Sheen. Well, sort of, but when he was alive, he came here to the islands, and we had dinner with him actually three times. And there's not many Catholic people, even, and I'm Protestant, that can say that they met Fulton Sheen for mm-hmm. dinner three times, because he was 25 years on television. He was a famous man in the Catholic Church, and many of Americans liked him. But yeah, I met in my life met many, many, many people, and you always hope you leave a small impression behind that will stick with them. I hear that when I see people now in the mall. I had thousands of clients here, and I bump into people in the malls and the shopping centers and on the beach or places, and some will say, you know, oh yeah, Terry, I remember you, and I just hope what they remember is good. But the gals in my office say, yeah, Terry, they always ask for you. We hope that we had been a witness for the Lord, and that we left that, not just me, but that they point them to the Lord Jesus. And that was my goal. Be a Christian. Live like one. Run a business like one. Run a family like one. And that's tough. That's not easy. I find it much easier, Danny, than to blabber about it. Like my dad says, don't mm-hmm. blabber about it. Oh, it's much easier to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to witness heavily on my airplane rides. I'd engage the person next to me in a seat, and we'd have some lively conversation. But lately, now that I'm getting older, and besides, I don't travel as much anymore. I don't hardly do that anymore. I just want to be by myself. And these long flights that I took from Amsterdam to Peking or Hong Kong, that's 24. That's, you know, that's an 14-hour flight. The one good part was I could read all. I could get on KLM upgrade and get all my old World War II songs and music, and listen and get back into my youth when I sat in these airplanes. And mm-hmm. I got to Peking, and I didn't even want to get off. had so much fun on these planes.
Encouraging words, heartfelt, warm words from a warm heart, the heart of Terry Bosco. Terry, thank you so much.
Danny, thank you for giving me a chance to say what I had on. And I honestly did not prepare for this. I just wanted to say what's on my mind at that particular time.
Sometimes that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. You know, my friend, God's timing is indeed perfect. And as we typically say, look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support, make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Terry Bosco again, terrybosco.com. Until next time, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave.